Okay, so this is the Free Ethics Call, and we are talking about confidentiality today. This is called Caribou Coffee and Confidentiality. So today's date is September 19th. Can you believe it? And I know. Has anybody joined us, wants to check in? Say hi.
Hi, this is Ellen. I just came on.
Hi, Ellen.
Hi.
All right. So we are jumping in here today. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Tina Elliott, and some of you might know me at Institute for Life Coach Training, also known as ILCT, as I am a faculty member there. So I do these calls in partnership with ILCT because not only am I passionate about ethics, so is ILCT. But most important, I'm passionate about coaches being ethical and operating with high ethical standards. And I like to say staying out of ethical hot water. So for those of you that don't know me, I am faculty. I'm also a past member of the ICF's Independent Review Board for, over 12 years. That is the complaint board. So let's just say I've seen a lot of complaints in my time there. Also part of the ICF's Code of Ethics update team. Been doing that since the beginning of time with ICF. So guess what? The code's being updated again as we speak. So there will be more changes to the code coming down the pike. So I want to welcome everyone to this live call. And for those later who are choosing to listen to the recording, our call is being recorded today, and it will be going out, I'd like to say, around the globe. So know that this is not confidential in our discussion today. If you're concerned about that, you can keep your confidentiality intact any way that feels right for you. Okay? So I'm going to do my best here. I love the line right now. It's so quiet, so I appreciate that from everyone. If you get in a space where you have noise or things going on, you can always do a *6 to mute and then a *6 to unmute. You know, I think what makes these calls really valuable is there's a lot of wisdom on these calls, I find. And so for those of you, you know, to engage in the call and share your thoughts makes this call much more powerful. So I will be, you know, tapping into wisdom on this call here. So today, this is part of a series in 2018 that I've been putting out called Staying Out of Ethical Hot Water for Coaches. And being aware of what we call gray areas in coaching ethics. So what that means is you won't necessarily find a specific ethics code for what we might be discussing here, although we will be taking a look at the code. So we will be looking at the ICF codes. I urge you all, if you have a copy of the ICF Code of Ethics. If not, you can certainly go to coachfederation.org and pull down the Code of Ethics. We will be referring to it today, so I urge you to have that handy. So I think what I want to look at here today is these gray areas as mentioned. So looking at things before it turns into what I say a black and white breach of code. So how we can kind of be aware of things earlier, that's what this is all about, is having an awareness that there's a potential for a breach of ethics, and it does not have to get there to a breach of ethics. Okay?
Greg Meissen.
Greg, welcome. Okay, so confidentiality is one of the most important factors in our work as a coach. And confidentiality is also a factor in ethical complaints against coaches. So with that being said, you know, it is confidentiality is a cornerstone of our professionalism and how we operate. So again, when we think of confidentiality, I like to say we think of confidentiality with our clients, so our client meetings. But we're going to move it beyond there to look at something a little different here today, and how we are required to operate ethically in regards to potential clients, or I'd like to say coachees, for coaching in organizations. Many times they're called coachees. And then also when we're talking with sponsors, so those who are paying for coaching. Okay? So I think the easiest way to do this, some of you who've been here before know how I do this, but for those of you who are new to this, I'm going to tell you how we do this. So we're going to dive into an ethical dilemma, so a scenario of a situation. And what I'm going to ask you all to do to fine-tune your ethical awareness is, if you're in a quiet space, if you can come off mute, I would love that. But what we're going to do is we walk through this dilemma. I'll be reading the dilemma, and I'm going to ask you to have your ethical awareness fine-tuned. And so what I mean by that, I'm not just talking about an ethical breach of code, but I'm talking about a potential gray area. So an area that, you might start wanting to be aware here. So as I read through the dilemma, I'm going to ask you all, when you start to notice or sense an ethical gray area, to say ping. That's going to be your ethical intuition coming to light, okay? Coming alive, we should say. Okay, so here we go. This is the dilemma we're looking at today. So the name of this dilemma is called the Hot Executive Coaching Opportunity. So you receive a call from Leanne. She is the HR director at company XYZ about coaching a director in their organization. She's looking for a strong executive coach to work with this leader who needs support in developing his leadership skills as it relates to his 5-member team. He has completely alienated his entire team with his dominating style. He does not listen. He cuts them off in meetings, and also he's always making the final decision on what he feels is the best choice for moving forward. Leanne tells you that this is considered a performance engagement. Okay, whoever has the dog, could you please *6? Thank you. Leanne tells you this is considered a performance engagement, meaning there are specific goals and expectations the CEO has for this leader to accomplish in the coaching engagement. If these goals are not met and the leader does not change his ways and get on board with the company's culture, which is team creativity and inclusiveness, he will be let go from the organization. You have wanted to get inside this company for quite a few years now. And you also sense this may be a challenging client. However, you have successfully done executive coaching engagements in the past. So although you haven't specifically done performance coaching, it should be a no-brainer, and you feel you can meet the company's needs. Oh, anybody's, was that a ping I heard? Was that a
2 pings so far.
Okay, some pings. So, okay, good. So some awareness here. Fantastic. So the sponsor, Leanne, says the coachee's not fully on board with the coaching.
Ping.
Ping, ping, ping. Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
However, he would be willing to meet with you outside the office and be open to learning about coaching and your approach, although he feels he's being pushed into being coached.
Mm-hmm.
Ping, ping, yes?
Ping, ping.
Okay,
ping.
All right, good. So you call your coachee to schedule a chemistry meeting. He would rather meet outside the company, as he does not want everyone to know he's been told he needs to work with a coach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know the local area well and suggest the bistro, a small cafe that you know is quiet in the afternoons. He says, no, I would rather meet at Caribou Coffee, as it's further away from the office and I feel I can blend in with the crowd better there. As a coach, you agree, but you also know it's a crazy busy place 24/7. People are sitting so close to each other, you can hear all the conversations at all the tables around you.
Ping.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good, mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah, good.
And you know you will have to elevate your voice just to communicate with your potential coachee.
Ping.
Ping, ping. Okay. However, this is what the coachee wants, so of course you agree to meet him there tomorrow afternoon at 3 p.m. You arrive early in hopes you can find a quiet place, but as you suspected, the place is jam-packed. You find your coachee already there and squeeze into his small table surrounded by tables full of other patrons. Yeah. Uh-huh. Any pinging maybe here? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good. You decide it's important to be in an environment that supports the coachee and what he wants. So you decide to sit down and have a conversation with your potential coachee and just keep your voice as low as possible. But basically, because of the noise there, you will be softly yelling at your coachee. Okay.
Oh.
Any pinging here?
Ping, ping.
Ping, 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 ping.
All right. Good, good,
softly,
good.
Softly here, of course.
Softly yelling, right.
Yeah.
So not an ideal situation, right? Not an ideal situation to meet, you know, with a potential coachee. So let's take a look here for a few minutes. Obviously, you heard the pinging here, so there were some gray areas. And notice some of you here are noticing gray areas that really aren't necessarily just about confidentiality, which I commend all of you on that. There's some other potential things to be aware of in this dilemma. So do you think that the coach here maybe stepped into some breaches of ethical code? What do you think? Anybody?
I think I have a question, Tina.
Sure.
This is Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
Can he, or the coach, I mean, can the coach really agree to going off-site?
Sure.
It just sounds like it's no longer business or you know, part of the sponsor's idea of how he should be coached.
Yeah, no, it's actually a very common practice.
Oh, I
very,
see. Okay.
Very common practice to meet off-site, particularly if somebody's uncomfortable at work, not comfortable necessarily or on board, shall we say, yet with the coaching and wants to have a private meeting off-site. It's very common.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and that's why we're talking about it today, because not only in this situation is this a common practice, but coaches all over the world, it is a very common practice to go meet in coffee shops.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, this is Anita, and I'm kind of concerned right up front, having done performance management coaching in a large organization, worldwide even, that this person doesn't know much about it, but so what kind of attitude, the coach.
Yeah,
that particularly because this is a work life or death issue for this person who isn't even on board with it. That's the second concern. Got somebody might be incompetent or not presenting herself well to someone who doesn't want to be coached anyway.
That is a great catch, by the way, Anita, so thank you for sharing that. Yeah, you noticed that. There was ethical intuition pinging around that this coach wanted to get in the company and had wanted to do that for a long time, but had never actually done performance coaching. And as you mentioned, performance coaching, you need to understand this is pretty critical stuff. I mean, somebody could be losing their job if things don't change. So there's a lot at stake here, right?
Right.
Yeah, so that's an important thing to be aware of, too. There was something to be aware of there. On the flip side of that, let's be honest, we all got to start somewhere, right? We all got to start coaching somewhere. But the important thing, and to be in line with ethics, is being trained, knowing how to do performance coaching, knowing between an engagement, for example, that is just what we would call leadership development today versus something that is really about that individual's performance and they can lose their job. So I like to say, although the responsibility is always the work of the client, at the same time, there's a responsibility there with the coach. It's not an easy situation, right? Okay.
Right.
Thank you for bringing that up. Absolutely. So let's take another look here at some things in regards to, you know, this particular dilemma. You know, do you think the coach stepped over the line here possibly in any kind of breaches of ethical code? What do you think?
Yelling softly in public seems to violate the confidentiality.
Yeah.
Okay. know, but on another note, yeah, this is Liz. on another note, though, like some people meet like in hotel lobbies, which might not be as crowded or noisy, and you don't have to softly yell. But if you're having a conversation in public, there's people around you coming and going who can hear.
Uh-huh.
And you don't know who is going by you and what interest they would have in that person's conversation.
What?
So, you know, that no matter how crowded or loud it is, as long as it's a public overhearable conversation, that would violate confidentiality.
Yeah, definitely could. Definitely could. So, but we're going to look more at that and look at the code and see how it applies. Obviously, if we think about sitting in a coffee shop with someone, and let's be honest, I think we've all been in coffee shops, right? I mean, it can be entertaining just to sit around and have some coffee and listen to everybody else's conversations, right? You know, it happens. So I think it's important to certainly have that awareness around that. And obviously the coach is really bending in an attempt to support the client, and that's another point to be aware of, is when as coaches we're kind of bending what we would normally feel comfortable with. That's a point to be aware of. Okay? So let's take a look at the code for a minute. And then what we're going to do is after we look at the code and see if there really is a potential breach of code, which I always say potential because it's never a breach of code until there's been a complaint filed and it's gone through the ethical conduct review process. So let's take a look at some of the code. We're going to be taking most, you know, there's some other code that could come to play here as Anita talked about, but we're going to be looking at confidentiality more specifically today. So let's take
Tara,
a look at
Bramble.
Thank you. Let's take a look at some of these sections of code here under confidentiality. So if y'all, whoever have your code, let's take a look. Let's take a look at number 24. It says maintain the strictest levels of confidentiality with a client, with all clients, and sponsor information unless release is required by law. Now, would this really be applicable to this particular scenario? Maintain the strictest levels of confidentiality with all client and sponsor information unless release is required by law. What do you think?
Well, there's quite a bit of personal information the HR director has given to the coach. And, I mean, right up front, she knows what the possibilities are with this executive's job and mm-hmm. and how he's perceived, et cetera.
Okay.
So I'm leaning that way. I don't know yet.
Yeah, okay, I no. hear you. No, I hear you processing that. That's good. That's good. But this one really relates to somebody's really just what I'm going to do. We're back. Sounds
yes,
like we have
are.
A quiet line now. So just a little reminder, if you have on hold music on your phone, please don't put this call on hold. Okay.
Oh,
okay, so we're back. So we were talking about the code of ethics. So maintaining the strictest levels of confidentiality with all clients and sponsor information.
Yep.
Somebody's got some background noise. Please, star six. Thank you. So maintaining the strictest levels of confidentiality with all client and sponsor information unless release is required by law. So can you do this in a coffee shop? Okay, so this one is not exactly applicable here because we're talking about information, talking about client and sponsor or coachee and sponsor information. So there's been no release by the coach here around this, okay? Let's take a look at number 25. It says have clear agreement about how coaching information will be exchanged among coach, client, and sponsor. So with that being said, there's a sponsor here involved, which also is something to be aware of. There's a coachee and, of course, the coach. So this is a real important factor to be able to have conversations with your client or coachee, so they understand how and what information will be shared with the sponsor.
Right.
Right? Okay. So a conversation with your coachee could be really important here about how this works, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, didn't see that happen, did you? Okay. So on the other side, when we look at a coachee as defined by the Code of Ethics or a client, it means that you actually have an engagement. So you are actually coaching this client. You have an agreement. Has that happened here yet?
Mm-mm.
No, it hasn't. So I'm curious, do you think this code applies to a potential client? What do you think?
Well, I think as they develop an agreement, it would certainly apply. If the director is willing to go into coaching, he or she needs to know what information will be confidential and what will go to the sponsoring organization.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So although the code applies, this code applies to actual clients who have signed an agreement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is a potential client. I'd like to say we are coaches, we are professionals, we are operating as a coach in any professional environment. So it's important that although this code might not apply necessarily to the situation, that if you actually look at, I don't know how familiar many of you are with the, there's a section in the code, it's actually not part of the PDF code, but it's actually something that was put out, it's called the Code of Ethics Overview. It's actually online. And in that, it says what we expect from ICF members when abiding by the Code of Ethics. And it says uphold the highest standards in a manner that reflects positively on the coaching profession. So do you think that one could be applicable here with how the coach handled this? What do you think? Okay.
This is Michelle. It's definitely, I think, when you're trying to uphold the standards of the profession, and that doesn't lead the client to really understand like the level that you're trying to withhold. And I'm also picturing if they talk to someone, say, oh, I met this coach at this coffee shop and it's crowded, like everyone just can start getting the wrong impression of what coaching even is, and sometimes it's uphill battle to even explain in the first place, and that doesn't seem like it's really helping.
Nicely said, by the way. So this could actually fall under that. Now, keep in mind what I'm referring to here, which is the first two pages online is called the Code of Ethics Overview, which actually talks about who we are, the vision statement, ICF core values, but also what we expect from members. Now, this section, this little piece here, by the way, years ago used to actually be part of the code, but now it's in actually this overview. So could a complaint be filed against a coach for this? Probably not. But at the same time, it's an area to be aware of, that no matter where we go, we are coaches and we need to operate according to our ethics. Okay? How about this number 26 here? Which is have clear agreements when acting as a coach, coach mentor, coaching supervisor, or trainer with both client sponsor, student mentee, or supervisee about the conditions under which confidentiality may be maintained, e.g. illegal activity pursuant to a valid court order or subpoena, imminent or likely risk of danger or self to others, etc. Here's the part. This is what's next. Make sure both client, sponsor, student, mentee, and supervisee voluntarily and knowingly agree in writing to that limit of confidentiality. Okay, so there's nothing here yet, right? There's nothing signed, nothing discussed at this point, right? Okay, so would this code apply? Come on, take a guess.
I'm going to say no.
Okay, you're right. again, we're still in that gray area. This actually would not apply, but it's a really important thing for the coach to be aware of. Yes, there is not a clear agreement. Keep in mind, when we talk agreement, doesn't necessarily mean that an agreement has to be a signed agreement, although ideally that is the best. But having agreements with our coachees, having conversations with the sponsor and the coachee, even prior to signing on the dotted line to be a coach with, you know, in an organization. Okay, so would this actually apply? Again, this is that gray area. Okay, so being aware of those gray areas. All right, so let's take a look at this number 27. And this says, require all those who work with me in support of my clients to adhere to the ICF Code of Ethics. And referring to number 26, Section 4, confidentiality and privacy standards, and any other sections of the Code of Ethics that might be applicable. So do you think this particular code would come to light in this particular situation? This is an easy one, guys. That'd be a no. Okay, it wouldn't, because this is actually with individuals that would be in support. So we're talking about, for example, if other you are working with other coaches on this particular engagement or administrative support, virtual assistants, that type of thing. So this one would not be applicable either. So let's take a look for a couple minutes. I'm going to ask some questions, and I hope that you all engage with me a little bit here. Can there truly be confidentiality in a coffee shop environment? What do you think?
No.
Not really.
No.
Not really. Unless you're in that really empty space, empty place, you know, or nobody's around. But in truth, not really. But if you are in that situation, how do you create that? How do you create a place of confidentiality, have a great conversation with your potential client?
Acknowledge that one.
Go ahead.
I'm just thinking to talk with your client about your concerns.
Okay, so talk with your client about your concerns. About your concerns about the lack of confidentiality, or what do you think there?
Yeah, just to talk about that this is not a foolproof place.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. Is there a way to set the stage for confidentiality for coaching meetings in public spaces?
This is Michelle. I know a lot of coffee shops that when I go to, there's a lot of times quiet places outside, but that you can't always depend on.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on weather and, you know, if there's tables outside where there, you know, not a lot of other people or no other people ideally. So having a hard time thinking about how you can, what else you can control.
Mm-hmm. Good point, because that's the problem is you're not exactly in control of things in a public space, are you? Yeah. So we're going to talk about that in a few minutes, about how to really set the stage for these types of meetings. And if you think about it for a minute, are we even really responsible as the coach to ensure a confidential environment for a potential coachee, someone who's not actually your coachee or client yet?
Yes, we are.
Yeah.
But I'm feeling like you're not, and also he's the one who picked the location, so doesn't that kind of, it's like the meeting with a lawyer, he's waiving his right to privilege by choosing a public space.
Well, that's a great way to look at it, but in reality, there's conversation that should have been had prior to that meeting. We're going to talk about that in a minute, okay? Yeah,
okay.
Good point. So, you know, we are responsible. We're coaches. Wherever we're operating, if we're out there as a professional coach, we're a professional coach. So it's important for us to always keep our ethical hat on and be aware of what are the conversations that we need to have to really set the stage and allow the client to understand, you know, our ethics and what we do with our ethics and how our ethics come to play. Okay? So, again, here the client selected the location. It's not confidential, clearly. You're all squished in. There's tables all around. Everybody's talking. You know, what was the coach's responsibility here?
Disclosure of lack of confidentiality or lack of privacy?
Yeah, so have a conversation with, coach should have had a conversation with their concerns, with their coachee, right? Okay? So, again, what we're talking about here today, these are gray areas. And the thing we have to be aware of with gray areas can turn into an ethical breach of code if we are not aware. Okay? I like to say many times, a lot of times, confidentiality can be clear. I like to say clear and clean cut when it comes to coaching a client individually. So an individual who is paying directly for their own coaching. However, when sponsors and organizations come into play, and let's say coachees come into play, and maybe, again, like in this particular situation, this was performance coaching, they weren't on board. I think it's super important in any environment, on board or not, that a coach have a conversation about their ethics and how they operate according to their ethics. Would everyone agree to that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. There was some missing conversation here today, wasn't there? A big missing conversation that the coach should have had with their coachee, right? Can we agree to that?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
Definitely.
Absolutely. So here's what we're going to do in just a minute. We're going to take a look at what I call course correction, or what the coach could have done differently to align more fully with their code of ethics. And again, there wasn't necessarily a breach of code here. But again, depending on the handling here, this could have turned into a breach of ethics. So I'm going to also be sharing a few tips to think about. You know, it's really common for many of us, if we don't have, you know, an office per se, we may have our home office, but an office that we go to and can meet clients at, that we find spaces and places, you know, where our clients can be comfortable and places that we can go to have these private conversations, okay? But before we go there, I'm going to take just a little minute here. I'm going to do a little promo on the upcoming Ethics IQ program, or also known as my Staying Out of Ethical Hot Water workshop, for those of you who are wanting to take a deeper dive for themselves into ethics. This was, I'd like to say, a light dilemma that we looked at today, so not super deep. But what we do in this particular workshop is we go very deep. So some very challenging dilemmas we look at. Also in this particular workshop, you take a closer look at yourself. Like we do our own work as coaches, you'll dive deeply into your own thinking around ethics and how you see ethics, and also take a look at your personal filters that could potentially get in the way of seeing things in a different light or a highly ethical light. And, you know, by the way, I want to share this. This is how coaches get in trouble, is because they're not completely ethically aware, you know, or we rationalize and we think, oh, yeah, that's no big deal. Like this coach did here. Oh, I can handle that performance coaching. This is how coaches get in ethical hot water. So, again, just want to share with you, of course, there's training hours if you sign up through ILCT, or, of course, there's the CCEs if some of you need them for renewal of your credential with ICF. And again, this workshop starts October 3rd, and it's for 4 weeks for an hour and a half, and it starts at 7 p.m., and the cost is $325. So I hear from many back on this that the in-depth coaching agreement you will receive is worth the cost of admission to this particular workshop. You will receive a sample that covers every ethical base I know to date. So also, you'll receive 20 tips of how to stay out of ethical hot water. So, again, you can go to my website at synergycoaching.org, or you can also go to ILCT if you're a student there and sign up there. So let's dive in. Let's take a look at course correction. So I want to throw this out to all of you. What should the coach have done different in this scenario we reviewed today?
I would say had a conversation about a different location.
Sure. Maybe had a conversation around ethics, explained ethics and mm-hmm. the ethics they align with and confidentiality mm-hmm. and how important that is to have a quiet space of confidentiality and see maybe what other options this individual might have had besides Caribou, right?
Right.
Where it's crazy loud and packed full. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what else? What else could this coach have done? Hey, somebody's got some background noise. If you could mute that, would be great. Star 6. Thank you. When should this conversation around confidentiality be had with this potential coachee?
When at the first meeting.
Yeah,
so the first
meeting.
Phone call, right? She had a phone call with him to set the meeting, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Right there. Had a conversation about ethics and about confidentiality and the importance of that. And the importance of that to the coach and holding that for her potential client or potential coachee. And
in,
with
in
that
fact,
in mind. Go ahead, somebody.
In fact, the client opened that door,
mm-hmm.
Which would have allowed that coach to discuss that right then and there. And also, there could have been some coaching on issues that have already gotten him in trouble. He opened the door.
The coach allowed it, didn't she? He or
yeah.
she? Right, allowed that because they did not have the conversation, did not have the conversation around their ethics and that they align with their ethics and confidentiality and how it works and, you know, the importance of finding a place that they could have a conversation that would remain confidential, right? That this probably all could have been deterred. See, this is the important thing when we talk about course correction, if you have an awareness early on of your ethics and what you're required to do, it allows you to forego all of this. Can you imagine? Now think for yourself for just a minute. You are the coach here. You're in the situation. You're trying to make the client happy. And by the way, that's another point where coaches get into hot water is always trying to make their clients happy. That's something we get into the workshop in. But instead of the coach doing this, coach does this, meets at this Caribou Coffee. It's crazy. They're a little table. There's five tables around them. You know, you can barely get down the aisles. Everybody's talking. How can you coach in that environment yourself?
Yeah.
How can you be a good coach in that environment?
Yeah.
I don't know about you all, but I'd be going nuts. Because first off, I probably could hardly hear my coachee. Mm. They probably could hardly hear me. Like we said, we'd be probably softly yelling at each other, making sure I was clarifying and understanding, you know, be asking questions and clarifying what the coachee is saying or my potential coachee was saying. I think that would be, for me anyway, a brutal environment. I would not be on my game.
That would not work.
What did somebody just say there? Would anybody else be on their game here, or is this just me?
I agree.
You know,
it takes a minute to come off of mute, so.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry for the late responses.
Go ahead.
But, yeah, it would feel a little awkward because it would feel like possibly somebody's, you know, paying attention, and when you had that kind of bouncing around in your head, you sometimes maybe don't ask the same questions or you're delayed or your reactions just aren't the same. And then, two, you know, I would be wondering how comfortable is the client really, you know, even though you are trying to get out of one uncomfortable situation, it, you know, could feel like you just put yourself in another uncomfortable situation because you're still in public.
Great point. Great point. So by the coach going along, attempting to make the coachee happy, you set up an environment where they're not comfortable anyway. They're not really necessarily wanting to do this. And by the way, I want to share, as being an executive coach, this happens sometimes. If you go in for performance coaching, I sense there's another coach here that does this too. But when you go in for that, they're not necessarily on board initially, but having great conversations and really explaining how coaching works and what it's about. And I always tell them, you know, this is really a gift your company is giving you, whether it feels like it right now or not, the gift of coaching, you know, and there is huge value in this for them if they're willing to accept the gift. Many times I've worked with many individuals who've been able to really turn things around and pick up and really accept the benefit and do the work. So it's not uncommon in a particularly a performance engagement like this where they are standoffish, don't really want this, but then can really turn around in an engagement. But also it's really important, I like to say, for coaches to be in command of the environment, of the session, of what's going on. You know, making sure we have a responsibility also in our code of ethics to make sure that we are in a place of not being distracted, that we can be fully present. Do you think the coach was fully present in this particular scenario?
Not really.
How could you be? How could you be fully present when you can hardly hear your coachee, right?
Yeah, it's true.
You know, and we have a responsibility to do that, to be fully present. And if we can't be, if there are things going on that are distracting us or there's too many distractions and we can't fully be there for a client, that is also part of our ethics code. Okay? What other things do you see here in this scenario that could have been a course correction or a better way to do this than what the coach did here? Now we have a lot of wisdom here. Come on.
The coach could ask.
Can you repeat that?
What the HR with the HR person too about the ethics overall, and then also what constitutes the good location or not that potentially should be going. She or he would be going off site, but that it would be a place where it would uphold the ethical guidelines.
Right. So by basically, like we've talked about, actually having that conversation up front, letting your coachee know that you are required by your ethics to have a confidential space to work in with your coachee. And even if they came up with Caribou Coffee, what might the coach have said to that? So if you were in that situation, what would you have said?
I would have said in my experience that coffee shop is a bit crowded. Might feel like there's people on top of you and everyone might be listening to our conversation. And in the interest of holding your confidentiality, let's see if we can think up some other places that might be more private.
Mm-hmm. Right. So almost coaching them around that, right? What other places do you know of that we can find that you would feel comfortable in, but also that we could be comfortable in having a confidential conversation, right?
Right.
So not just saying yes to make the coachee comfortable. He doesn't know what coaching is. He's not aware. He's never done it. Right? So our role in this is important to explain about what is important and what's required in our ethics as a coach, right? So the coach could have taken a little more control of this, right? Educating their coachee. It's important we educate our coachees around our ethics. Because what can happen if we don't educate our clients or coachees around ethics?
You like the guy you're working with?
They could end up walking us into a scenario that gets everybody in trouble, in violating their privacy, in violating our ethics.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why it's so important. We don't have to say yes to anything. We can coach our clients for other options. Isn't that what we do anyway? We coach for our other opportunities, other options, looking at what else could happen and be available. Where else might this individual be comfortable but have an environment that is conducive to coaching? He had no idea what goes on in coaching and what was needed. Okay? Questions or comments or thoughts coming up for anyone in this call today?
I'm wondering about Facebook. So when you create a meeting space as, you know, as a group on Facebook, how does this apply in that space?
So say that again. So a Facebook group you're creating so that you can, what, do group coaching? Tell me about that.
Yeah, so if you have clients that are in a group setting and then you want to create a group space, you know, like one of those group groups. I'm trying to make too much of it. You create a group on your page, and then anybody who's not in the group can still see who's a part of that group.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that violate confidentiality by just creating that space for people to come? Like if they want to further their discussion, the discussion wouldn't be seen by outsiders, but their attendance could be seen by outsiders.
Good question. So what do you think about that? You create a group, right, on Facebook. Anybody pretty much can join. Is that right?
Anyone who is one of your coaches, I would keep it limited to your clients.
Oh,
and I
okay.
guess they're, so, yeah, it wouldn't just be anyone from the general public. So let's say I coach a group from XYZ support group or coaching group, and then they want to be able to have the opportunity to share ideas and talk to each other, and we can all connect in between sessions. Because I've been asked to do this, and it's kind of like a virtual coffee shop, and so even though people can't hear or read our discussions, they can still be aware that these people are involved in this by seeing their attendance in their Facebook page. And I'm just wondering, because that was another thing I thought about the coffee shop, is do people, you know, people would be aware that this man was meeting this coach, and so what's going on, and, oh, I wonder if something's going on with his job. You know, people could just get suspicious or curious just by the fact that the two of them are meeting.
Right. Good point. So let's step back to your Facebook group, by the way. I think it's important that when, no matter what group we create, whether it be a social media group or whether it be a coaching group or whatever it may be, that you lay out the ethics of that group and how it works. So you lay out how the group works, and if it's what's confidential, what's not confidential, letting them know that if they show up in this group and they share their thoughts or whatever, it will be, know that it is not private, it is on a social media platform, and that others in the group will see what they're doing. I mean, that's, I think, a pretty important thing to think about, how you might do that.
Okay, thank you.
That makes sense, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
By the way, thanks for bringing that up. You know, that's something we don't really think about a lot of times with social media and it being a newer platform and how we handle confidentiality, similar to the call we had today, letting you know that this is not a confidential call today and that it will be going out, the recording will be going out all over the globe, and to know that, you know, it's not confidential. So think about what you might want to put in place, what kind of a statement you might want to make for your group, and making sure they understand that and how you would communicate that, okay? Was that helpful?
Very helpful. Thank you.
Excellent. Good, good, good. So I just want to check in real quick with anybody. Any last-minute questions or comments? And, you know, a few of you would like to share, what are you taking away from our conversation today?
I think the biggest thing is our role and responsibility in educating our clients. before we meet. So it's not just the welcome packet. It's not once we're under, you know, an agreement. It's educating them ahead of time of what our responsibilities are ethically to them.
Good point. Good point. You know, I know, like, for example, when we have potential clients that show up and we have those complimentary calls and stuff, I just heard a scenario the other day. Of course, I hear from a lot of folks around ethics and how there wasn't anything said about, you know, setting the stage about, although they are not your client, you are a professional coach and every conversation you have is confidential with the exception of the exceptions that are listed here in the code. So because what happened on that particular call that I heard from another coach about that they had is this individual had actually reported that they were a danger to someone else, okay? The coach says, I don't know what to do. I didn't have that conversation. I said, regardless, you still have a responsibility because it is in your code of ethics to report that, okay? Questions or comments about that? Okay. So I think the thing that came to light today is really stating your ethics. I mean, that's part of what we do being an ICF coach or actually being trained at like ILCT, for example. That is an approved, credited training organization with ICF. We have a responsibility out there. We have a responsibility to align with the code and share with potential coaches and our clients about it, okay? All right. Thanks, everyone, for being here today. It was great speaking with all of you. I look forward to seeing you again. Take care.
Hey, thanks.
Thanks, Tina.
So long.
Bye.
Bye.